Good morning, everyone. I am going to be sharing about Fisher Bay Bible Camp and what's going on there, and then after that I'll have a short devotional. I have to make a confession that as far as the wood cutting goes yesterday, on Friday, when Pastor Jonathan and Stephanie were at our place, they were planning the menu for Saturday. Now I heard two words in a sentence that I didn't think belonged together, and that was turkey and soup. But I want Stephanie to know that I really, really enjoyed the soup. So I did not complain. Trust me, in my heart I was concerned, and so I went to Linda. She was in the kitchen, and I said, "So I," or her overheard a little bit about the menu, but she said, "We're also having piggies in the blanket." So I knew that I was going to be okay, but and then when we sat down at the table for lunch, somebody had already scooped my bowl full of soup. So I had no choice but to eat it, and it was very good. Thank you. I'm sorry we're not be joining you for potluck lunch. But it has nothing to do with soup. I always thought turkey was for potatoes and gravy and cranberry sauce or a plum sauce, something like that. So we're okay, though. Okay, so I didn't give Stephanie the right information about the text for today is actually Acts chapter 17. So some of you have opened your Bibles to Romans, if you would turn to Acts. But what I'm going to do first is we'll talk a little bit about the Fisher Bay Bible Camp. Just what's going on there, some of the plans. I have tickets, by the way, if you want. So some of you have taken some already. Tickets for the fundraiser on it's a banquet fundraiser in Steinbach on Saturday at the Cornerstone Church. Okay, so the camp is owned by the Fellowship of Fellowship of Evangelical Bible Churches, like our conference or our fellowship, owns the camp. And it's run by a board of directors from our church. I'm the representative there. I'm new. I'm the new guy on the board. And other people, men and women from the other, our sister churches, like Grunthal and Stuartburn and Kenora, who have I all seen there? Dallas and Richard. They're all people that are part of that group that run, or have directors on the board. The camp is located 2 hours north of Winnipeg. It's north of the Peguis Reserve, and it's actually also north of our sister church up at Dallas. So if you ever have never been there, it's a good drive. We've been there a few times, and this is something I heard from Fran Hartog. She's a missionary up north. And she said that the Fisher Bay Bible Camp is very well respected in all the communities and on the reserves. So I think that's something we should really take note of, that they are well respected. And, of course, a lot of the youth that come there come off the reserve. The work weekend, where we can go there and work at the camp to help get things ready, is June 2nd, starting on Friday and Saturday. And then on the 4th, the Sunday, is a walkathon. I don't have to do a walkathon. I walk back and forth in my milk parlor every morning and evening, so I'm okay. So anyway, if you like to do that, that's great. at the present time, we do not have a director for the 2017 year. Like this camping season, there is no tractor yet. So that's something something we should pray about. For this camping season for 2017, about half or even a little better than half, I talked to Carol Funk from Sturtburn Church just this past week. She figures about half of the female counselors are in place. But we're quite short on the male counselors. So if somebody would like to do that, you can talk to me. I will point you in the right direction, and we'll go there. We'll get this done. You do not have to be a teenager to be a male counselor. You can be older. I don't counsel very well. I don't do dials. I do switches. But we have that. That is an option for you. I know our Derek. He spent quite a few summers up there, and he enjoyed that. We sometimes got to hear about the camp because when he came back for the weekend, he sometimes brought people back with him, and they would stay at our house sometimes on short notice too. As in, he opened the door and then said, "They're here." So, so the head cook is in place. Her name is Raven, and she's from the Jackhead Reserve. So there are some of the local people starting to show up there. Carol Funk said that she'd been attending camp since she was 12. She's 20 years old. She would sometimes stay there for the whole summer. She didn't want to go home. Always there is maintenance staff needed. So I don't know any specifics there, how many are in place, but that's something that's always needed. Something to fix, something to mow, something to take care of. Last year, 2016, there were 277 campers came. They need about 40 to 50 staff, if you think of through the whole year. So I'll just run down now how the camp, how this kind of week works week after week. So first of all, there's a two-day camp for 5 to 7-year-olds. Then there's 2 weeks of camp for 8 to 11-year-olds. And that starts on Monday afternoon till Saturday afternoon. And then 1 week of 11 to 13-year-olds, and same time, 1 week of 12 to 14-year-olds. And then there is a canoe trip for 14 to 17-year-olds. And that starts on a Monday morning. And they finish the trip later on Friday. In the evening, they land up back at the camp. And what they do is they leave Fisher Bay on a canoe trip, and they end up, it's not always the same. Some years it has been in the Whiteshell or in Ontario, there's one spot. I don't know exactly where it is, but this is some of the information that I got. And the canoe trip is also usually held during the Fisher River Treaty Days. They figure that if they had the camp during the same time as the Fisher River Treaty Days, they ran the camp so the canoe trip takes them away from the camp. If they figured they had the camp running, the attendance would be very poor. So this is why they choose that time. And then there's 1 week of 14 to 16-year-olds, again, from Monday to Saturday. And then there's a senior teen camp, the 7 to 19-year-olds, and that runs from Thursday to Sunday. Approximately 95% of the youth that come to the camp are from local communities like Hodgson, Dallas, Pegasus, Fisher River, Jackhead, etc. The banquet, again, is this coming Saturday at 7 o'clock. Again, I have tickets. That's the second time I've told you that, so by now we should remember. Okay. And Linda and I, we will maybe be calling some of you that might have forgotten to ask us. So we encourage you to attend. And there will be quite a bit more information at the banquet about the Fisher Bay Bible Camp. Also, they were actually working on a slideshow. I actually thought maybe we would have it here this morning and I could show you a part of it about the things that are going there if you aren't going to come to the banquet. I was not able to get that. It was not quite ready. So there will also be special music and a guest speaker. And I would also want to encourage those of you that have been at the camp that you would encourage others to come, to, even just to the banquet, not just, but to the banquet, or to tell others about the camp and the banquet. Okay, material needs of the camp. The riflery shack, for instance, needs to be rebuilt. They do paintballing, and apparently they buy one new paintball gun a year because they wear out. And then the other thing is they are planning to build a new play structure. Somebody has already, or an organization has already donated $30,000 towards the play structure, but it's supposed to cost about another $20,000 or so. The chapel needs insulating. That was very evident when Linda and I were there. I think it was at the February when we were there? Yeah, February. We were there. So we played human foosball in the chapel, but we kind of warmed it up in there, just us moving around. But it would be good to have that insulated so it could be used. And the reason is, also, every month, the last weekend of the month, they have kind of like a youth retreat there. And like that's when Lynn and I went. We went up there with the Gideons. We brought them Bibles. And that song we sang, that Ancient Words, was very fitting. And they requested full Bibles, not just New Testament. So that's why we went up there and brought them Bibles, actually presented them with Bibles, the people that were there, and then left extra there as well. So now I'll go back to what I started with. I went on a rabbit trail there. Yeah. So the insulating is important so that chapel can be used all winter. So that is probably, most likely, that's not confirmed yet, but that's where the funds that are raised at the banquet will go toward. Okay. And at that retreat that I was just talking about, at every month, it starts on a was that Saturday or was that Friday when we were there? Anyway, Saturday, right. Saturday it starts, and then they stay till Sunday whenever. And there's about 40 to 50 young people come there, and about 30 or 40 of them are local people. And we had a lot of fun. I got to shoot a Nerf gun at people while they were playing dodgeball. That was part of the game somehow. I enjoyed that. I had never done that before. So anyway, Linda and I attended one of these retreats, and so, now I'm running ahead of my notes here. Here's something that needs to be thought about a lot, and that is for the future, Fisher Bay Bible Camp would like to hire a full-time director. It would make the camp, we have somebody that is interested already, and it would make the camp run a lot smoother, and these activities that are taking place throughout the year would be even better organized than what they are. Also, we would have somebody then that could go to all the churches and present the camp to the churches what's happening at the camp, the needs of the camp, and it would just stay a little. I think we all believe it would be better organized. But that is, of course, it's a cost. And we're weighing that and wondering what we should do there. So if anybody has some input or thoughts on that, please let me know. I would pass those on to the board. Or you have somebody in mind, that would be, of course, great as well. And this is something that is clearly needed. And I know from many years ago it was talked about when I was involved with the camp then. And it would also help with things like follow-up. The young people that attend camp, they go back to their homes, and if they're local, then the director could follow up and see how they were doing. And that's definitely a need there, follow-up. So that we ask that you pray for these needs of the camp. Also, you can. The other thing is that you can donate directly to the camp by designating your donations even through the church here as well. And if you have any other questions or be interested in helping in this ministry, you can talk to me or to somebody from the camp. So, okay, Acts chapter 17. This is about, if you starting at verse 16, it's about where the Apostle Paul is in Athens. And I'm going to try to draw a parallel about the ministry that Paul had and the ministry of the Fisher Bay Bible Camp. And the theme for the message I had was bringing hope in an unknown God. And the Apostle Paul, when I'm just going to get ahead of myself here a little bit, and then we'll read this. The Apostle Paul, when he goes to Athens, and there's all these thinkers and all these idols and stuff, and then there's also a spot there that says an unknown God, and that's the one that he is going to wants to tell them or does tell them about. And when you think about the especially some of the communities up north there, there are other gods, and you don't even have to be from a community similar to that. We all have things in our lives, I believe, that I don't know if we were going to call them other gods, but that take us away from where our heart should truly be, you know. And I guess that's also part of our life here as well. Anyway, let's pray. Heavenly Father, we are thankful for your word. We are thankful for the stories that are in your word, and that we can apply them to our daily walk. And it is something we pray now, that as we read from your word, that it would penetrate our hearts, it would stay there, and that it would affect our daily walk. A bride gave her husband a ring with the inscription, nothing but hope. Now you could take that two ways, right? He didn't bring anything else into the marriage but hope, or it was a very hopeful thing. I read that, and I thought, you know, that's something to think about, hope. How important is hope in that? And to define hope, how do I define hope? And you know what? I think one of the best ways to define hope is to see what the opposite is. That's despair. And for myself, or ourselves that are Christians, when you think about starting your day, how do you start a day without faith in God? How does that work? How do you swing your feet out of bed in the morning and say, it's a new day? I mean, we're not all morning people, I've heard. But this is just something like, why? And some of these kids, young people that come to Fisher Bay Bible Camp, it is a rough life that they've had. So, we're going to read first Acts chapter 17, and we will take a special note. We'll read this first, and then I'll read the rest of it. We'll read 22 and 23. So here he is in Athens, and then he says, Paul then stood up in the meeting of the Areopagus and said, men of Athens, I see that in every way you are very religious. For as I walked around and looked carefully at your objects of worship, I even found an altar with this inscription, to an unknown God. Now, what you worship is as something unknown, I am going to proclaim to you. And that's what the counselors and the staff at the Fisher Bay Bible Camp want to do. They want to tell them about this God that a lot of the youth do not know. And I want to just give you one example. I maybe shared this here before, but when Linda and I were there, we handed out Bibles, and it's the New Living Translation. It's a good translation to read. And when we stood up to sing with all the youth, I can still see it. There was this one young lady, not going to guess the age. I'm assuming she was a teenager. She sat and read the Bible. Just sat there and read. We were all singing, and they were clapping their hands and all that stuff. And she read, and then we stopped. And I thought, well, now next song she's going to sing. And she sat there through all the singing. And I saw her, looked a little bit at once in a while to see where she was reading, as she was just reading what it would appear to be just the New Testament. No. I saw her one time in the front of the Bible, and she stayed there for a while. And then later on, she was on the back. And it was like something very special to her. And for me, and Linda, I think that trip up north, just to see that one girl read the Bible that way, out of that hunger, was worth it. Was worth the trip. So that is what they are, again, what they're trying to tell them about this unknown God and give them that hope in that unknown God. Okay, chapter 17, verse 1. When they had passed through Amphipolis and Apollonia, I read this better at home. They came to Thessalonica, where there was a Jewish synagogue. I know this isn't Athens now. This is before he gets to Athens. As his custom was, Paul went into the synagogue, and on three Sabbath days, he reasoned with them from the scriptures, explaining and proving that the Christ, or Messiah, had to suffer and rise from the dead. This Jesus I am proclaiming to you is the Christ, again, or Messiah. He said, some of the Jews were persuaded and joined Paul and Silas, as did a large number of the God-fearing Greeks and not a few prominent women. But the Jews were jealous, so they rounded up some bad characters from the marketplace, formed a mob, and started a riot in the city. They rushed to Jason's house in search of Paul and Silas in order to bring them out to the crowd. But when they did not find them, they dragged Jason and some other brothers before the city officials, shouting, these men who have caused trouble all over the world have now come here, and Jason has welcomed them into his house. They are all defying Caesar's decrees, saying that there is another king, one called Jesus. When they heard this, the crowds and the city officials were thrown into turmoil. Then they made Jason and the others post bond and let them go. As soon as it was night, the brothers sent Paul and Silas away to Berea. On arriving there, they went to the Jewish synagogue. Now the Bereans were of more noble character than the Thessalonians, for they received the message with great eagerness and examined the scriptures every day to see if what Paul said was true. Many of the Jews believed, as did also a number of prominent Greek women and many Greek men. When the Jews in Thessalonica learned that Paul was preaching the word of God at Berea, they went there too, agitating the crowds and stirring them up. The brothers immediately sent Paul to the coast, but Silas and Timothy stayed at Berea. The men who escorted Paul brought him to Athens and then left with instructions for Silas and Timothy to join him as soon as possible. Now, did you take note of something? And that is, there's a team. There's a whole bunch of people working with Paul. There's Jason, the guy whose place he stayed at. There's Silas. There's all these others. There were some, they aren't even named. But they brought him, they took him. So this is teamwork. And that's something that is also happening at Fisher Bay Bible Camp. There is teamwork. That's one thing I've noticed when I've attended I haven't attended all the meetings. I missed the last one. It was on Monday. But there is real, true teamwork there within the camp board and within the directors and all the people. And that's if you think about putting that all together, that whole camping ministry, they got people from many different areas and churches and so on, and they're trying to get all these counselors and everything together, and we still don't have a director, so everybody has to be on the same page with the same goals. And that's kind of here too. Paul was their preacher, so they had to get him to the right place. They had to keep him safe. Real teamwork. Verse 16. While Paul was waiting for them in Athens, he was greatly distressed to see that the city was full of idols. And when I talked to Carol Funk, this week. And she told me what was happening at that reserve, that Jack Head, I think that's what it was called, Jack something, reserve. And it is, the children might finish grade 6 in school. And there is seldom, the teachers that are there are not there necessarily there permanently. And if you want to go past grade 6, you have to leave the reserve. It's hard to believe that that is happening in our area or in our province. But that's what's going on there. And she said something, Carol said another thing, and that was that some of the young people don't even want to admit that they come off that reserve. So that's kind of like how Paul feels too. Greatly distressed. I said, you need a box of Kleenex to hear a story like that. So he reasoned, verse 17, so he reasoned in the synagogue with the Jews and the God-fearing Greeks as well as the marketplace day by day with those who happened to be there. A group of Epicurean and Stoic philosophers began to dispute with him. Some of them asked, what is this babbler trying to say? Others remarked, he seems to be advocating foreign gods. They said this because Paul was preaching the good news about Jesus and the resurrection. Then they brought him to a meeting of the Areopagus where they said to him, may we know what this new teaching is that you are presenting? You are bringing some strange ideas to our ears, and we want to know what they mean. All the Athenians and the foreigners who lived there spent their time doing nothing but talking about and listening to the latest ideas. Paul then stood up in the meeting of the Areopagus and said, men of Athens, I see that in every way you are very religious. For as I walked around and carefully looked at your objects of worship, I even found an altar with this inscription to an unknown God. Now what you worship as something unknown, I'm going to proclaim to you. And that, my time is running out here, so, and that is again what Fisher Bay Bible Camp wants to do. They, the young people, the children, the youth that come there, there is other ideas planted in them. And so they come with the true gospel, the Messiah, like we read here, and with the Word of God, and these Bibles, they can take them home. Like we left enough there that hopefully that a lot of the youth can have them and not just use them at the camp, but that can take them home. And so please pray for the camp and the needs of the camp. And if you know of somebody or want to come and help there, it is a good ministry. Like I said earlier, I believe it is, wasn't just Derek, I believe 4 of our children have all worked at the camp. I know Melanie cooked there for a while and things like that. So, First Peter 3, verse 15. I want to close with that verse, 1 Peter 3, verse 15. But in your hearts, set apart Christ as Lord. Oop, I'm going too fast because the pages are still going. Sorry. First Peter 3, 15. But in your hearts, set apart Christ as Lord. Always be prepared to give an answer to everyone who asks you to give the reason for the hope that you have. But do this with gentleness and respect. One of the things that came out of the discussion at one of the board meetings was that the culture of the area is somewhat different than some other areas. I mean, I noticed that when we moved here 20 years, the culture of this area was different than Winkler. We could be 5 minutes late and not be thrown out. But anyway, but he said too that, you know, when they're all this very rigid ways of doing things, there had to be more flexibility in there. And that is part of the culture there. That's the way people live there. And so, anyway, let's pray. Heavenly Father, we have been reminded this morning about the needs of the people in that community, not just the reserves, but the whole community, the whole area. And we know, God, that you have left them here on earth for a reason. You have a purpose for them. And we pray for all of those that are struggling, that through the camp ministry and to testimony and the witness of the neighbors, of those that walk with you, Lord, that they would see hope, that they would have hope for a future life, not just eternity, but also hope for day-to-day living. We thank you, Lord, and for those that are serving you there, we pray that you would just give them direction and wisdom and energy and strength. We pray these things in your name, Lord Jesus. Amen. Thank you.